this morning? How's everybody doing this morning? Well, is everybody afraid to sit in the front? Do I spit or something? You know, I think if anybody remember Gallagher, come on, somebody, you guys remember Gallagher, you know, the water? Maybe I ought to do something. I don't know. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I'll tell you, I love the place. I love you guys. I've had a great week, and I pray you had a good week. And we're in this series of messages called Stand. And we've been looking at a gentleman named, anybody know his name? Daniel, right, because Vacation Bible School is going to be on Daniel. Vacation Bible School begins next week, so make sure you get your schedules all worked out so you're free on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening, and plan on being here for Vacation Bible School with us and having part, because you know the story now, all right? You know the story of Daniel and the stories we're going to be talking about with the kids. And this morning, I want to continue that story, but as I was thinking about this message, I want to make sure you know something. I believe this message this morning is written for some of you that are here right now. And what's funny for me is I prepared these messages, the ideas, months ago. And yet the topic is one that I feel many of you are facing today. How many of you are like me? You have prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you haven't seen anything happen. Anybody? You ever wonder, you know, God, I've prayed and I brought this to you. How come nothing's happening? Where is everything at? And we pray about these things, and yet it seems like nothing's happening. Nothing's going to, you know, maybe there's a health issue. Maybe you got some health challenges, or maybe there's a friend with cancer and you're praying for them and they pass. Maybe there's some financial challenges and you're praying about your finances and you're praying and the month always seems to go longer than the money goes. You know, maybe you got children or for me it's a parent that I really want them to know Jesus Christ. I really want them to cross that invisible line and give their life to God, and I'm praying and I've been praying that prayer for 40 some odd years now. And you just wonder, where's God? You know, maybe it's a job. And you pray and you pray and it's like, where's God? Did God hear me? You ever pray and you feel like maybe it never got through the ceiling? You know, you ever pray and it just doesn't seem like it goes anywhere? You know? I want us to think about that this morning, because Daniel had to take a stand. And Daniel stood in faith, because Daniel had this. Let me kind of give you a picture. We've been looking at Daniel and last week, we realized Daniel in the lion's den was no little child. Remember, we talked about that. He was a 80-year-old man as he's in the lion's den. All right, remember they threw him in the lion's den because he prayed. And they threw him in the lion's den. And he's in this lion, but he's an older man. We get this picture of some little kid in the lion's den. No, he was an older man. And now he's even older. This is past that time. And if you remember the story, we started way back when Daniel was like a 15-year-old. 14-year-old kid. Remember Nebuchadnezzar came in and attacked Jerusalem. Anybody remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar comes in and destroys Jerusalem, destroys the temple, gathers up all the temple items in the temple and all the temple belongings and takes them back to Babylon. And then he takes all the young men that are wise back to Babylon. And Daniel's one of those young men at 13, 14, 15 years old. He goes back to Babylon. And remember the story started about what food to eat, and then he had to interpret a dream for the king, you know, what dream. And we kind of have this story of Daniel, and he's been there now since let's say he was 15, he's 80 plus now, 65 plus years. And in those 65 years, Daniel has been praying and for one thing, many things, but one thing. He's been praying for the temple. He's been praying that I want to go home. Anybody ever want to go home? I want to go back. I want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to go back to my people. I want to go back where I was raised. I want to go back to that temple that worship where we worship God. I want to go back and honor God. And he's been praying 65 plus years for Jerusalem, for the temple, for the ability to go home. I don't know about you, but I haven't prayed 65 years for anything yet. Because I'm not 65 yet, okay? You know? I prayed 40-some-odd for my salvation of my father. You know? But he's prayed 65 years And then all of a sudden he has this vision, chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. And he gets this vision, and all of a sudden there's a little hope, there's a glimmer of hope for Jerusalem. But then an angel shows up and says, it ain't going to be so. It's not going to work out that way. An angel shows up in the midst of chapter 9 and telling Daniel that you had this prayer, but it's not going that way. So now Daniel's wrestling. How do you stand in faith when you have prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and then all of a sudden God says, it ain't so? How do you stand in faith? What do you do? And I looked at Daniel, and he's a man who stood in faith. And this morning, I want us to think about that. I want you to look in chapter 10, and I'm going to challenge you to go home and read the 9th chapter and then read the 10th chapter. But look at these verses here as we begin the 5th chapter 10, start with verse 5. This is Daniel. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Ephes around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. He sees this image. Now, I don't know what it is. Now, some of the scholars think, and there's many interpretations, an angel. Some of them think it's Jesus Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ showed up sometimes in the Old Testament. See, Jesus wasn't just born. He lived with God at the beginning of creation. Anybody remember that? Anybody? You're familiar with that? Jesus always existed. And this might be Jesus showing, and he sees this vision of Jesus. He heard that news, that his prayer that he's been praying over and over again for 65 plus years is not going to happen. Things aren't going well. And here's this vision. And Daniel was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. He's seen it by himself. Nobody else seen this. Nobody else seen this vision of this angel or Christ. And he sees this vision. You ever have that where you see something nobody else sees? You've experienced something nobody else experienced? I remember when I accepted Jesus Christ and I was sharing with those who did not know Christ. And they had no idea what I was talking about. They couldn't comprehend how that God could touch me. I remember in college one time I was reading, and it was my doctoring class, and Dr. Hyatt was my professor. I loved him, and I read this verse, and I had read the Bible before through, and I had read the Gospel of Matthew before, and I had read the Sermon on the Mountain before. I had read all this before, but all of a sudden I read this verse, Matthew 7:21. That verse says, not all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but him who does the will of the Father in heaven. And that struck me that day. As I'm sitting in this class, it's like, whoa. And I went up and talked to the teachers, and others are saying, well, I read it too. Big deal. You ever read a verse, you read it over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden it stands out in your mind. You know, boy, I didn't catch that before. And you tell somebody, did you see that? I'm hoping this morning some of you are going to go like this. Some of you are going to walk out of here, man, that preacher did a great job. It really spoke to me. And somebody's going to go, yeah, that was a good message. And you're going to go, no, didn't you hear what he said? Because see, that's what happened to Daniel. There's something happening here. He's kind of down. Things aren't right. Things aren't going the way he wanted. Things don't seem well. And here all of a sudden, Jesus stands before him. And nobody else gets the picture. Nobody else sees it. But Daniel does. And then he had this to say. I had no strength. Lift my face, turn left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. He was lost in this. You ever get lost in your depression, anybody? Lost in your frustration. Lost in life. It's like it's not working. It's not going well. Here's what I planned. Here's my vision. Here's my dream. Here's where we're supposed to be. Here's where we're at. 65 years. It's not where he wanted. It's not what he wanted. And God is doing something. And so I just want to think about this for you and for me this morning. And he sees this vision. And he loses it. I'm helpless. My face, the blood just drained out of my face. Anybody ever have an experience in your life where you just lost it? It's just, you're just drained. You know, it's like everything is just, I've been there. And I think we've all had those times when we just, you know, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. It's just, see, that's where Daniel's at. He's been praying 65 plus years. I want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to see the temple again. I want to be back with my family in Jerusalem. I want to go home. And he's been praying 65 years, and God has done nothing. That's what he sees. Nothing. 65 years. Yeah, I had to stand up to the king, and you know, I couldn't eat this food. I had to tell the king bad news about a dream he had. Yeah, I got promoted, but in that promotion, these guys tricked me, and I was tried to feed to the lions. Yeah. Sounds like life, doesn't it? Yeah. 65 years he's praying this. How do you stand in faith? Here's my question. How do you stand in faith for 65 years? Praying the same thing and hearing nothing. Anybody? You ever think about how do you stand in faith? And you stand there in faith. 65 plus years. I haven't even been alive 65 years. That's good, see? You know? Praying the same prayer over and over and over and over. God, I want to see Jerusalem again. I want to see the glory of your temple again, the beautiful temple. I want to go back and worship you on that Temple Mount, God. I want to meet you in that holy place, God. I want to see you face to face in Jerusalem again, God. 65 years, and he sees nothing. And then he has a vision, and it's even going to get worse. How do you stand in faith? How do you stand in faith when you're praying for someone who has cancer? And they're dying, and they don't make it. How do you stand in faith when you battle marriage? And can marriage be a battle sometime, or is it just mine? Yeah. How do you stand in faith when those finances are just snowballing? You know? How do you stand in faith? Well, Daniel found a way. And I want us to think about that. And I want you to think, I really think this is something we could use today. I really think this is something that spoke to me as I wrote this, that I needed. And I believe we can use today. And so I want to begin with this. If you're looking at your outline, let me encourage you to get your outline out. Keep in mind this. Daniel is pale, laying there. He's done. He's finished. Anybody? God, I'm done. I'm finished. I've had it. Anybody? Daniel, laying there. Chapter 10, book of Daniel. Let's look at what he says here. 10:10. Put these words here first. God cares about you more than you do. Did you hear me? God cares about you more than you do. God cares about you more than you do. How many believe that? Then why does he answer our prayers? Why does he wait 65 years to tell Daniel, I'm sorry, but not only you ain't going to get it, it's going to get worse. Thanks, God. Anybody? Don't you, you know, how do you deal with that? And here's what he says. Now remember, he's laying face down. He is out. He's done. He's toast. I've lost it, he says. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. He's not standing up yet. Do you get the picture? He's down. He's face down. And now all of a sudden, he's on his hands and knees. He's been touched by God. He's been lifted up, not standing, lifted up by God. I think that's important. See, we need to know that God cares for us, that he touches us, that he lifts us up. How many remember an old song? How many, most of you guys, I look around and I am getting old. Can I look around? Most of you guys are younger than me. How many remember the song, He Touched Me? How many? Come on, let me see. Come on, some of you guys. Okay. Yeah, see, I got a few hands. Some of you young ones are out there going, I have no idea what he's talking about. So if you don't, I'm going to read some of it. I said read. I didn't say sing, okay? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He's laying. He's done. It's over. I can't handle no more. And he was touched by God. Does that say something? Does that say something? Not only did he touch him, he lifted him up to his knees. There's another song. Anybody know this song, He Lifted Me? Anybody recognize that song? Come on now. All right, I see some good folks out here. See, you others, I'm not saying you're not good, but you missed the blessing. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to stains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Anybody? See, God touches us. God cares for us. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling. Just because you're touched by God doesn't mean you don't stop trembling, does it? Can you still be afraid and be touched by God? Help me out here. Come on, I want to see some heads bounce, okay? Even though God touches you, doesn't mean everything's going to go away. Oh, it's perfect now. Join God. Become a Christian. No more troubles. No more problems. Come on, join God. Anybody? It don't work that way, does it? We still tremble to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. You're precious to God. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to know God cares, but I don't know if I want God. Gary, you're precious. I don't want to be called precious. I'm a guy, all right? Yeah, but I'm glad I am precious to God, all right? We're precious to God. God loves us. God cares for us. You're precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. You're precious to God. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. You see that, still trembling again? I see some great passage here. He stood up. He stood up. I want you to think about this morning, that you are precious to God. And maybe this morning, you're just on your knees and on your hands. Maybe life has put you on your knees. Finances, health, marriage. I don't know. Job. Something has just cut you off at the knees and you're on your knees. God touches you. God touches you. And then he says this, stand up. Stand up. So you know what I want to do this morning? I want you to stand up. I want everybody here, don't sit there and look at me. Stand up. I want you to stand up. I want everybody standing up. Because I want to tell you something. Here, listen to what it says here. He said, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I say to you. Stand up. I want to tell you this morning, you are precious to God. Every one of you are precious to God. And he's told you to stand up. You don't have to take life sitting down. You have to take life kneeling down. You have to take life on your hands and your knees. You take life standing up because God said, stand up. You are loved by God and you are precious to God. I don't care what life has done to you. I don't care what life has beat you with. I don't care what's happened in your life. You are precious to God. If you agree, would you say amen? I want to hear that louder. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Lord, I just thank you for these who are precious in your sight. I lift them up to you, Lord. I don't know who they are by name. I can't name every one of them, Lord, but you know every heart, every name that is here. You know which every life and every situation. Lord, they may have been on their knees when they walked through the doors this morning. They may be trembling right now, Lord, but you are the God who says they are precious. You care for every life, Lord. I lift these up to you that you may touch their heart, encourage them, strengthen them, just as you told Daniel to stand. Let us stand trembling, knowing that you are God because you love us and you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. I just want you to know you're precious. God cares for you. See, that's what Daniel had to hang on to. Daniel had to hang on to that God cares for me. I matter to God. No, 65 years, nothing. Nothing had happened in Jerusalem. Nothing. The temple is still destroyed. It's laying in ruins. That prayer I've prayed for 65 years, nothing. But I'm still precious to God. I still matter to God. God cares for me. God is with me. Do you get that picture? See, I want to make sure you have that. You can stand because God loves you. And I like that. What I liked as I read that, he was on his knees trembling. He was laying down trembling. When he stood, he was still trembling. Things just don't disappear when you become a Christian. Things just don't evaporate when you cross that invisible line and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. I look back over my life, and I've told many stories here of things that it's like, where are you, God? When I moved here, I was thinking about this. I was visiting with somebody in front of the church this morning. They walked down the Hammett Road and walked back, and they happened to see me out. Or I've known them for 20-some-odd years, almost 30 years they lived here. And I was thinking, when I first moved here, you know, when I first moved to Salida, I couldn't get a house in Salida. You go back 32 years ago, almost 32 years ago, there was nothing being built in Salida. There was nothing. I couldn't get a house in Salida. I had to rent a house, Orangeburg and Old Oakdale Road, Claus Road. That's where I lived because I couldn't rent a place. For a year, I drove back and forth. Finally got a house here in Salida. So we rented a house. Now, I rent a house. Laura's pregnant with Jeremiah. So we're moving. Anybody? Yeah, moving with a baby. Isn't that fun? Yeah. So we move into the house, and we live in that house for several years, and then the landlord gives me a 30-day notice. And they're still not building anything in Salida. There's nothing. See, they fought, you know, this little development on the other side down to past the canal, one of the first ones built, second ones built in Salida. They wanted to put a trailer park over there, and they wouldn't let them. And so I had 30 days to find a place to live. Now, you want to feel, you know, God, I brought my family here. This is it. 30 days. Laura, I, and three little kids. What am I going to do? I'm calling people, trying to find a place to live. It's like, oh, man, what? Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I get a house on the other side by the Perkins School for 30 days because he sold the house. So it's like, whew, God gave me a 30-day reprieve. Isn't that a blessing? A 30-day reprieve? I don't think so. You know? It's like, now I got, and he wants a deposit. So 30 days. Okay. Yeah, so we move over there. And now we're hanging over there. I'm calling, trying to find a place. And again, 2 weeks. We finally have a place in Salida on Elm Street. Not only is it bad in the movies, it was bad in Salida. Because we lived in the other half of the duplex where the four murders happened. When they happened. God, thank you for the house. Anybody? That's just one. How many have stories like that? How many can tell stories like that? That, you know, God, it's... You really care for me? If you care for me, that's the best you can do? Anybody? Yeah? We wrestle with this. But I want to make sure you know. I wanted you to stand because I want to know. Do you know you are precious to God? Do you know you matter to God? Do you know Jesus Christ, his one only son, died for you and you matter to God? You're precious. Yeah. See, I want to make sure you see that. God cares for us. He cares about us. He touched me. He lifted me, and I stood up. I want to make sure you get the picture. He touched, he lifted, but he had to stand. I'll give you a little hint here. You might not like this. You know what? You can wallow in your own pity if you want. You know what's really interesting? Read some of the miracles Jesus did. Really interesting question. Do you want to get well? Think about that. Jesus did miracles, but one of the first questions he asked was, do you want to get well? A lot of us don't want to. We want to sit on our pity pots. Yeah. And I've told you this in the past. If you're sitting on your pity pot, there's only room for one. Yeah. But God cares. He'll lift you up. He'll touch you. But you got to stand. And you can stand because you are precious to God. You get the picture Daniel had here? How do you stand firm in your faith? How do you stand when life and those prayers and things just aren't working the way you want? How do you stand? You stand because you are precious to God and he's touched you. Does that make a difference? That's the first step. Let's read on and see what he did here. Put it this way. I put it this way. God is doing more than you understand. God is doing more than you understand. What I want to say now is this. We can't see everything God is doing. All right? Keep this in your mind as we read this next passage. You can't see everything God is doing. There is a spiritual world out there, right? Come on now. There's a spiritual world out there. The scripture tells us our battle is not with flesh and blood, but what? The spiritual world. Listen to what he had here as Daniel's went on. Then he said, don't be afraid. I circled that one. Because guess what? I'm going to be afraid. If you do not think I was afraid with 2 weeks to go with three little kids in a house trying to find a house to live in, you don't think I was afraid? You're wrong. I trust God. Oh, I trust God. Can you still be afraid and trust God? You know, you tremble, you're afraid. I just want to make sure you get this. Daniel, since this is real good. Since the first day you began to pray, circle first day. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. Whoa. Why do I got to keep repeating myself? You heard me the first time, God. Think about that. God had heard that prayer 65 years before this day. He heard it 64, 63, 62. He heard it the first time you prayed it. That's what I want you to hear. God hears your prayers the first time. The first time he prayed it, God heard that prayer request. Okay? Keep that in mind. But look at what it says. I have come in answer to your prayer. 65 years later, that sounds good. I don't know about you. You know when I want God to answer my prayers? Honestly, yesterday. Before I pray them. Anybody? I wanted it yesterday, God. Yeah. I like that. I have come to answer your prayer. You've been praying this 65. Why is it taking you 65 years to get here, God? Where have you been? But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Oh. Oh. I mean, there's more going on than I can see. There's more going on than I understand. There was a movie. I didn't even think about it when I wrote it, but just come to my mind right now. Ah, oh, crud. I'm trying to think of the actor that's in it now. It's a comedy, and it's not, oh, God, it was. They made another one about it, too. God answers everybody's prayers. Come on, somebody help me out now. What's the movie, the skinny, twerpy guy? Pardon? Bruce Almighty, but the one before Bruce. Was it Bruce Almighty? It might have been the one before. Maybe it was Bruce. Yeah, Bruce Almighty. God answered. Remember, put it in the computer. God's going to answer all the prayers. Remember how the world just. Yeah. It took God some time. Why did God take 65 years to get there? There's something going on. He was blocked. He was blocked. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked. Just to kind of give you a little background. Guess what Daniel had been doing before this prayer? For 21 days, he was fasting. He prayed it for 65 years. The last time he prayed it, he started fasting for 21 days. I've never fasted for 21 days. I've fasted. The most days has been 2 days I fasted. I just fasted one day the other day, talking to God about a situation. Now, just so you know, fasting's not dieting. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I wanted to spend some time with God. And every time my stomach growled, it was like, okay, God, what do I want to talk to you about? I'm serious. That's what I did. But something got in the way. Something was blocking him. We don't know. What is this? Again, we're kind of like this angel or Christ that came first. I kind of see this as the devil, okay? And just so you know, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in these little orbs that fly around. But I do believe in demons. I think the scripture talks about demons falling from heaven. Anybody? You know, so I believe there's this world out there that demons and angels battle that I don't even know. And this is a picture he's telling Daniel. He's telling Daniel, here's this picture. There's a battle going on. You didn't see it. You don't know what's all happening out there. You don't understand everything. But I'm busy. I'm working at it. Look as he goes on. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. He let somebody else fight that battle. He came on to help us. See, I want to make sure you get a picture of what he's saying here and what we're talking about here. Daniel prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And many times we're waiting, and we wonder where God is. And we don't know. Maybe there's some other battles going on. See, I believe the devil wants to take every one of us out. Doesn't it? I think the scripture says something about he roams the world looking to whom he may devour like a lion. I think it talks about he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Anybody? I think the devil's out there trying to do all of that. And I think there's a lot of times God has done something to protect me that I don't even know. See, I think there's this spiritual world out here. And just because we don't see God doing anything doesn't mean we don't understand why he's waiting. See, we need to back up sometimes. I don't know why it took 65 years. I go back to when I first felt called to the ministry, and I felt called to be a pastor. And, you know, as a pastor, I want to preach. That's what pastors do. They want to lead churches, and they want to preach. And I surrendered the ministry, and I go off to college, and some of my college friends that I meet down there start pastoring churches. Did Gary get to pastor a church? So I come back up to San Francisco, to Marin County, where our seminary is. I start seminary, and I want a pastor. I want some experience, maybe be an associate pastor. Let me be a minister of education. Let me do something. And friends start pastoring churches. Does Gary? No. Still remember this one church. It's still burned in my mind. I put a resume in, and another friend of mine put a resume in, and they told me, and I had been preaching at a church off and on, and they said I didn't have enough experience. But they hired the guy, the other guy. He only lasted a year because he was older than me. It's like, okay. Well, I want to preach. I felt called to preach, and it was 7 years before I was pastoring a church. Why'd God wait so long? You know what? I still don't know. Other than, you know, I'll be honest, but you know when you're young, you know everything. When I was 16 years old, I knew everything there was to know. And you guys are laughing at me because you guys are the same way right now. Some of you were 16. Nobody could tell me what to do. Anybody ever tell their parent, don't tell me what to do, ask me. I told my dad that. It didn't last very long. Yeah. See, we don't understand what God is doing. God is doing something. God is working. And we need to understand that. That we might not see it, we might not understand it, but when we're praying, from that very first time you prayed that prayer, God heard you and began to work. Think about that. Now, it might take 65 years, and it might take longer, because it never happened. Daniel never got to go home. See, sometimes when God works, it's not always the way we want. But we don't always understand it. See, we need to see that there's a battle out there that we don't understand. And so, see, when you're facing situations and your prayers and you feel they never go above the ceiling, they feel they never get out of the house, you just feel they're just not answered, you need to understand God cares for you. And the first time you prayed that prayer, He heard you. And there's something going on right now that you don't understand. And maybe you can't even comprehend. But God has heard you. That's what we need to hear. God has heard you. And we need to hear that. So see, we can trust God. You can stand firm because God cares for you. Because you don't understand all that He's doing. You just don't understand. We can't see it. Here's the third thing I put down here. God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. God's strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. When I finally realize I don't have the strength, I can't fight this battle by myself, I can't do this on my own, that I need God and the presence of God to go through this. Listen to what it says here as Daniel went on. Daniel chapter 10, verse 17, it starts. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? Get it? Listen. How can someone like me, God, who am I to talk to you? Yeah, I've been praying this. I've been asking for this. But who am I now to talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again. You get the picture? Sometimes we need more than one touch from God. Whoa. You hear that? Sometimes you need more than one touch from God. He touched me again. Circle that word again. We need it again. I don't know about you, but I need to touch from God again. I'm going to be honest with you. I need to touch from God every Sunday at least. That's what I think church is for. My prayer is that you come here and get touched by God so you can go out there and don't understand everything and still know you're precious to God and face life. Is that true? He touched again. And then I felt my strength return. Ooh, He touched me and my strength returned. Don't be afraid. Man, that word showed up again. Don't be afraid. He said, you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. As He spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to Him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. Whoa. You get the picture? Life's going to throw things at us. We're going to have those battles and those heartaches and those troubles and those struggles. That's going to be life. But when we realize I can't stand on my own strength. You know my favorite passage, right? Anybody? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things by Gary's strength. That's not what it says, is it? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Yeah. I live by that verse because I believe that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Suddenly I felt stronger and said to Him, please speak to me. I feel strength from God. I feel power from God. I feel God moving. When he touches us, something happens. When he moves in our midst, something happens. And we need to see that in our lives. We need to feel that in our lives. We need strength. We need to see God move. We need to see his power. We need to feel God move. But we got to stand in faith. See, I think a lot of us get touched, but we never stand up. We let life step on us. We let life destroy us. And we never stand up. See, I love that picture Daniel's painting here. A picture that he is down praying and seeking God. And he's just in awe of who God is. He's struck down by the vision of who God is. And he's laying prostrate on the floor. And then as he's laying prostrate on the floor, God reaches down and he touches him. And he rises to his knees and his hands. And God says, "You're precious. You're precious to me. I care for you. You don't understand everything, but I care for you. Stand up." And he has to stand. I want to make sure you get that. He had to stand. God got him up, but he had to stand. And then he's standing. And God touched him again. You get the picture? And when God touched him again, he felt that strength and the power of God. See, I want to tell you, a touch can change things. My prayer this week has been that God would touch you with this message. Because I know we have battles. There's heartaches. There's struggles. I mean, there's marriages. There's financial pressure. There's health issues. And one of our teachers that I really enjoyed, Mr. Scott. I don't know how many of you remember Mr. Scott. He passed away. He had leukemia. One of our longtime teachers here in Salida just passed away. Went to his funeral Friday. You know, people I pray for. Many of you write things on your blue cards. I was praying God would touch you guys. That's why I wanted you to stand and say, "Touch, I'm precious." That God touches me and that God moves in me. See, I want you to know that. I want you, God touched you to give you strength. God touched you to overcome those burdens. God wants to move in your midst, and he's not done. I like that phrase, "He touched me again." He touched me again. God wants to touch us again today. God wants to touch you again today. You know, I crossed that invisible line many years ago. I was 17 years old. And you hear me talk about that invisible line, that line that says, you know, there's a point in my life where I got to make a decision. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. It's a prayer like that. I surrender to God. It's all yours, God. And I crossed that invisible line, and he touched me. I still remember that day. I still remember that. I remember talking to my grandma, who was excited when I made that decision, and my cousins. I still remember that day, and he touched me. But I'm going to tell you something. I need a touch all the time. I need a touch all the time. I'll get done today, and I'll go home, and I guarantee you tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to need a touch. I'm going to need God to reach down and strengthen me. Because I don't care how good Sunday's been. When Monday rolls around, and those who preach and those who get up here know what it's like on Monday. It's just, I'm done. You ask Laura, she doesn't want to talk to me on Mondays. Yeah. Because it's tough. I need a touch. So I want to ask you this morning, do you need a touch? Do you need God to touch you? Maybe you just need to get up on your knees. And maybe you need a touch. Maybe you're already standing. And maybe you're standing in that faith. I looked at Daniel. Think about it. 65 years plus. A lion's den. No, that's a perfect life. Yeah, I'm going to go visit the lions. You know, I was thinking about that story. Even this week as I was working on it. He's in the lion's den. And now I'm going to tell you, the lions weren't sleeping. So you think Daniel slept? I was thinking about that. You know, it's like, yeah, God's going to take care of me, but I'm going to keep one eye open tonight. You know, we need to be touched by God. I want to challenge you this morning. Do you need to be touched? Do you need God to touch you? Is there a special place? A health? A family member? A child? A broken relationship? A marriage? Finances? Do you need a touch from God today? Do you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a God who cares, that you say we're precious. Lord, I find it hard for me to say, God, I want to be precious in your sight. But God, I want to be touched by you. You know, as we're praying, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you need God to touch you this morning, I don't know where it's at, I don't know where it may be, but if you need God to touch you this morning, would you just stick your hand up? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Just say, God, I need a fresh touch. I need a touch again, God. I need you to touch me. Lord, I just come to you with these who stood with their arms raised up, Lord. They need a touch, a fresh touch. Lord, we know you care, but so often we get so busy with life, we just forget. Let them feel your love, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around them right now. Touch their heart in a special way that they can say, God touched me. And with that touch, Lord, give them strength. Whatever the battle may be, Lord, wherever the fight may be, touch them, Lord. We do pray, Lord, and I pray that the fight will disappear. That it will go away. That the battle will be over. But for those battles that aren't over, Lord, I pray as we see Daniel, I pray for strength for these. That you strengthen them, Lord, as they stand in faith. That you've touched them afresh, you've touched them anew, and there's a new and a freshness in their heart and in their life that says, I can stand in the mighty power of God. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Lord, I pray you touch them as you touch all that are here this morning that have gathered in this place. Touch us in Jesus' name. Amen.